pickup at the trade deadline for a hitter, at least somebody who would perform. And I remember as a kid hearing about the Cardinals getting Lou Brock, and it was Ernie Broglio and Doug Clemens, Bobby Shands to the Cubs for Brock, Jack Spring, and Paul Toth. I remember Lou Brock. I don't remember that trade, but I do remember CC Sabathia when he was in Cleveland and they wanted to rent him in Milwaukee. At that time, they were behind, was it Dusty Baker? He was with the Cubs then and won the wild card by one game, lost in the Phils in the NLDS. But the big name in that one was Matt LaPorta. Remember that first round pick? Matt LaPorta was the guy. And then Zach Johnson, Rob Bryson, and then a throw-in name, a guy by the name of Michael Brantley, who's now an all-star outfielder with the Houston Astros. So Sabathia was absolutely fantastic. He won 11 games, and his ERA was just above 1.5. And he finished top five Cy Young and MVP in the NL. And he played less than half a year there. You can point to the Yankees getting David Justice. That was when the Yankees threw Ricky LeDay, Jake Westbrook, Zach Day to the Indians. Did you forget Jake Westbrook was a Yankees farmhand? I think a lot of people think about Dave Justice as the Moneyball character, but he was fantastic. Halle Berry actually had a root beer float day years ago. Dave Justice scooped with me and Chris, and really good guy. But my favorite, and I think you can see this coming, my favorite acquisition ever at the deadline, Kevin Apier. No, it was Ricky Henderson. And this was like the third week of June or second week of June. It was before the trade deadline by a couple weeks, I think. But it was getting Ricky back from the Yankees. Why they traded him, I have no idea. Yeah, Greg Catteray, life as a Catteray, who actually worked on some A's posts there for a while with CSN. But Greg Catteray, Luis Salami Polonia, a guy who was brought in just to translate, and he ended up being a good player. It took Roger Clemens deep in the playoffs, by the way. Luis Polonia, who later got busted, and he said he didn't know girls had to be 18. Yeah, that was a cultural thing. And then Eric Plunk, one of the scariest pitchers you'd ever face. Guys like 6'6", threw 100 miles per hour, had big Coke bottle glasses, and had no idea where the pitch was going. Dig in on that guy. And we all know what happened after that. I mean, by the way, the A's were a couple games up in the West, and they went on to take the West by 7, and then win the NLCS over Toronto, and then won the World Series, as we know, over the Giants. But Henderson, by the way, after the trade, stole 52 bases. It's just, you can't even, how do you get 52 steals in a season now? You just don't. I mean, you look right now, seriously, you look at anybody's stats right now and you say, oh my gosh, this guy has 18 steals at the break. What a speed merchant. Ricky, after he got traded to the A's, swiped 52 bags in half a season. It was all over for the rest of the league. Now, I'm talking about trades that worked out. I don't want to get into the list of trades that didn't work out because that list is 50 times longer than this one. And as a fan, you want your ownership, if they can win a championship, to do it, right? Right. This is what we all want. But you don't want them to be stupid, and you don't want them to throw away your future. And we've seen teams do that before on some harebrained scheme. It's always funny when you look at a guy and you go, oh, this is the guy they're picking up. Oh, this is the big trade? What's his ERA? It's a 4.9. It's a 4.9. So we got to score 5 runs whenever this guy pitches or we lose. Kinda. That's the big acquisition. And we'll get into it in this hour as well. When we come back from a break, we're going to be speaking with our buddy Mark Abanez. But I do want to take a look at who's out there pitching-wise and who's out there as far as hitters go, too. Because there are some names, none of whom are going to blow you away. I kind of like it when GMs kick the tires on guys that aren't obviously on the trading block. And I can think about, my favorite example of that was Doug Wilson getting Joe Thornton from Boston, the Bruins. Every other GM spit out their herbal chamomile when they found out that he got traded. Is it Marco Sturm and Stewie and Primo? And it's like, wait a minute. I didn't think you were going to trade him. Sometimes you just do that deal. Was it the White Sox when they traded Sammy Sosa to the Cubs? And then they said, we didn't even want to trade him. They called and asked for him. I'm like, well, you don't have to trade somebody. And then they retired his number. Both teams now have. We didn't want to trade him. Well, then don't. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Rick Tittle.
I hate talking over this. It's so fresh. Let it go. Come on. Here it is. All right. As I always say, be careful playing songs that are better than the actual show. Rick Tittle with you. I'm going to take you the rest of the way. Mark Abanez is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Rest of the way means until 5 o'clock, so a nice, sweet and meaty segment. Herbs at the top of the hour. I like used to show with gurus because I call it herbs and goo. Like, ew, that's gnarly. 888-957-9570, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. 415 says, thanks a lot for getting Life is a Cabaret stuck in my head. I don't know what's worse, the song or that I know the song. That could be it. This is... What's going on? All I see is shadows waving at me right now. Oh, Mark is good. Okay, well, then let's go to Mark Abanez. You know him from, I say, Fox Channel 2. He was there even before Fox was a network. He was there when Texas was the largest of our 48 states. Mark, how's it going?
I was there when all we had was black and white TV, right?
Just about, yeah. Technicolor, you were the first one. How's it going, man?
Everything's good. I appreciated the Booker T and the MGs, Green Onions, to get me in.
Yeah.
Good. Good stuff. And, everything's good. I've just, been on the first of a little 11-day off period here. So enjoying that. And, up in Napa, it's always a beautiful day, right?
Oh, absolutely love it up there. So the trade deadline in Major League Baseball is coming up here in about 10 or so days. The Giants are a game under, just a couple games out of the wild card. And normally I'd say, yeah, let's try it. Let's go for it. But I'm just being realistic. I kind of expect them to, I'm not going to a tailspin, but, they lose 10 out of 15. You miss the deadline. You go to camp without some of these guys who are now free agents. Your team is even worse in Scottsdale than it was this year. Plus the fact that if you do add – maybe you deplete your farm system even more, and you're not going to get past some of these teams that are ahead of you. I just don't believe it. Now, some people might say, hell, this is our last shot at glory with all these old guys. Let's do it. Where do you stand?
Well, that's a great question. And when you were saying one game under, I step away from the wheel for 1 minute, and so I assume they lost today, huh? Because, like I said, first of 11 days off, and so I wanted to take a little, you know how it is as much as anyone. Sometimes you got to step away from the deal, the soap opera. But, it's an interesting question. And another aspect that I thought of last night on the drive home after this win, and obviously that's part of the discussion, is now do you trade anybody or not? What do you do? Well, I thought of this. What if you trade a couple of guys, like, say, Will Smith or, a couple guys in the bullpen, Tony Watson or whatever, and not to mention Madison Bumgarner, and the team somehow manages to stay in contention, and then wouldn't it be a bite on the backside if one of those guys comes in, let's say they trade back to the, you know, their closer, Smith back to the Brewers, and he comes in. I don't even know if they're playing him, but just as an example,
yeah.
What happens if one of those guys, you know, knocks the Giants out of the playoff wild card contention? I mean, that would be the irony of all ironies, and I really think now it's come to a point where you're going to have a lot of ticked off guys in that clubhouse if they do a mass exodus here. And the bottom line message is, you know, what are we fighting for here? Are we fighting so everybody gets traded? Are you going to pull the carpet out from under us? So I kind of think unless they go on like a little 6 or 7 game losing streak here, it's so tough, but I think those guys in the clubhouse prove they deserve a shot at things, you know. But you know, and then again, I've been saying it. I've said it on your show. I think it's. I believe in the long run, it's fool's gold because I don't think this team really, even as they stand right now, as hot as they've been. Realistically, is this a World Series team? Yeah, it's fun that we're playing meaningful games. But let's be honest with ourselves. As hot as they've been, I'll bet you this team is not deep enough to win the World Series. I don't think, and that's your ultimate goal in my mind. But I love what they're doing for Boch.
No doubt, it's pyrite. And this is the thing too with Farhan. The guy can't win for losing because if he trades everyone, it'll be like remember when Reinsdorf did that in Chicago, the trade to the Giants, the Caruso trade and all that, and they're like, what are you doing? You're killing us. So if Farhan does that, everybody will say, oh, you idiot. You threw away the rest of the year. We were going to win the West. Right. But then if you don't trade everyone away, here it is past the trade deadline, and you're 9 games out of the second wild card. Oh, you idiot. You blew it. You could have traded these guys and refurbished the farm system. So whatever he does is going to be wrong. So I think you just got to be prudent. And you got to give this organization, this fan base, some hope. Just some hope for the future.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought when you said hope, I thought you meant like hope this year. You know? To me, they have already accomplished the goal for this season, which was we know you're not going to win the World Series. You're probably not going to go to the playoffs. Just do not be boring, which they were unbelievably dull, almost to the point of unwatchable in the first couple of months of the season. And everybody's going to remember this hot streak for however long it might last. And to me, I turn on the Giants now. I watch them, you know, even on days off. Whereas before, I'm like, why am I going to put myself through that misery? You know, when you'd be lucky if they scratched out 3 or 4 hits. And they just weren't entertaining. But I feel like they've already attained a great goal. They've shown that they can be, and I've said this too, to me, in the early going, Farhan was using the, you know, throw spaghetti up against the wall and see what sticks strategy. Mm-hmm. But now I can kind of see some realistic cohesiveness to his overall plan. You're getting guys who are versatile, a little more athletic, and play with a little more passion and fire, and his hands have been unreasonably tied because of some anchor contracts to some underproducing veterans until lately. And, you know, by and large, if you were to ask me 2 months ago, I would say, man, the jury is really out on this Farhan guy. I don't know about bringing guys up and down and, you know, you have to have some cohesiveness in that clubhouse. But now I think there's a little more stability, and I can kind of see a plan and a formation where, you know, you could kind of say maybe Alex Dickerson is his Max Muncy,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Or when, you know, maybe Mike Yastrzemski is his Chris Taylor, you know, or something like that, which they did with the Dodgers. You
right.
pull guys out of nowhere. And they become very, very productive major leaguers. Why not?
And he was the guy that made those moves down there, no doubt. What do you think about, and this is just for fun, but the people who pointed out that while Kevin Durant was with the Warriors, as soon as he came in, the Giants were great and they started to stink. They sucked the whole time he was here, and now that he's left, the Giants are good again, and they call it the KD curse. What do you think?
I hadn't heard that one, but, you know. obviously a little far-fetched, but yeah. You know, I think I wish KD the best, but you know, I think it's going to be a good thing for the organization, almost like a breath of fresh air. And Kevin Durant, bless him. You know, I hope he finds happiness. But you know, the one thing that really irked me is I heard a couple of journalists go on the air, various airwaves, and say, you know, did you ever hear Warrior fans shouting MVP until the very end when KD would come to the line? Did you ever think Warrior fans really embraced him? I'm not buying that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you flip that around. Did we ever hear KD said he loved the Bay Area? Did we ever say he really, really loved being on the Warriors and couldn't believe his great fortune to wind up with this organization? I never heard him say a good thing about Steve Kerr. He always kind of played, you know, passive aggressive with regard to Steve Kerr. I never heard him say how passionate he thought Warrior fans were and how great the support was. So, you know, it was a great 3 years with them, very entertaining. And so long, vaya con Dios, senor. So there you go. Have a good time.
Mark Ibanez is with us. Of course, KTVU, Fox 2 sports anchor in his 4 decades over there, still going strong. You know, it's kind of funny. I heard a report today from ESPN, Michael Windhorst, that the Lakers and the Raptors were a bit irked by Kawhi Leonard during the free agent process, that they both thought that they had a great chance and that they had paid for his flights and things. And I'm just surprised. Here it is, 2019. This is the way it works. I remember Lance Berkman and Rafael Furcal did that to the A's. Hideo Nomo did that to the Giants. It's just the price of doing business. I can't believe somebody was like, well, you ended up not coming here after all. We got duped. No, you didn't get duped. This is sports, man.
Yeah, in this day and age, the players have the power, and there are varying opinions about that. But, I mean, if you enter into a negotiation or in trying to lure a major athlete in this day and age, those are the pitfalls that come with it. You sure can't whine about it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they have the power right now. And, you know, when you think of how sports has evolved, where ownership, you know, what's that famous story about Joe DiMaggio hit like 338 one year and 325 the next year, and they wanted to cut his salary back in those days. So owners had complete control. You don't like it, Jolton Joe? Go somewhere else. Oh, you can't. So,
right.
You know, the way I was brought up, my work attitude and ethic, I'm always on the worker's side. So that means I'm on the player's side in this. And I don't feel sorry because an owner had to fork out some dough for a Learjet ride, you know, to Toronto. Sorry, I don't feel sorry for you.
No doubt about it. Let's talk a little football now. Camp's going to get underway here in about a week. And we're going to have NFL Films doing their show on HBO, which is so great. And Hard Knocks up in your neck of the woods there with the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting forever for them to do the Raiders. And this year it's going to be great. I mean, John Gruden is a caricature of himself. You've got Antonio Brown. You got Vontaze Burfict. You got, let's see if Richie Incognito cryogenically freezes his dad's head. I mean, they're... You got to.
You took the words out of my mouth. I'm like, don't forget Richie Incognito. Probably make for some good airtime. Did anyone ever get clarity? Because I've heard like 3 or 4 different stories as to what really transpired in that funeral home when he kind of lost it. He didn't really do that, did he?
No, the reports were he went in. And now, of course, we can go down the litany of other times when he's been crazy, but this was the craziest one. He went in. And his dad was in a casket, and he said, I need my dad's body because I have to saw off his head to cryogenically freeze. And they said, well, that's not going to happen here. We can't let you do that. And then he said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to shoot everybody who's in here.
Oh, my God.
So they called the cops. That's the kind of guy who's so toxic, and they say, well, if it doesn't work out, just cut him. I don't even want him eating lunch next to Derek Carr. I don't want him anywhere near the team.
I feel you on that. But you know, I was listening to you earlier this afternoon, Rick, and I did like your comments with regard to Tyreek Hill, and I agree with you on that. And, you know, what do you think about Richie Incognito getting a two-game suspension? Because in a way, in my mind, you could make a case where here's a guy grieving the death of his father and maybe lost it a little bit, where and he gets a two-game suspension, and then you got this guy who, I mean, it's circumstantial evidence, but it's pretty irrefutable that something was going on here. And, you know, I think anybody who's a parent, me as a father, I was pretty outraged when hearing that tape and just some of the allegations that were made. I kind of look at it where there's smoke, there's fire. And to me, the NFL got this really wrong, letting him fly. Of course, they're keeping it open. But I think it's pretty obvious that this guy's got some issues when you're laying hands on a three-year-old kid. Sorry, I just can't abide by that. I can't root for him. And I heard a guy on your station late last night, one of the national talk show hosts, said, no, you need to separate. You need to separate the person from the fan. You can go out and cheer for him, even if you don't think he's a good human being. Well, I don't know. I didn't necessarily agree with that. You
know? All right. I don't know who the hell that was, but yeah, I don't agree with that either. And for people who don't know, Tyreek Hill, the Kansas City wide receiver, he'd been away from the team 4 months pending an investigation. His son was at the hospital with a broken arm and punches to the chest. The parents both admit that it happened under their watch. They said it was an accident. And Tyreek Hill, this was the same guy who punched his fiance at the time in the stomach when she was pregnant with the baby. And so, I mean, they get no suspension because the police say we know something bad happened, but we can't prove it. And yet it was a guy, Jacobs, with the 49ers 5 years ago. He tweeted, man, Harbaugh won't start me. And he got a 3-game suspension. So yeah. It doesn't make much sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, it was Jonas Knox.
Jonas Knox. Okay. Well, I'll say everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah. That's true. But, yeah, I was almost to the point where I want to call this guy, you know, and talk to him. But I thought that'd be a little strange for me to call in on his talk show as a fan and a listener. But at the same time, obviously the NFL does not have any consistency. I mean, they can't adjudicate a pass interference call, let alone a complicated situation like this. So in some ways, I guess it just makes sense that they would get it wrong. But if you are out there listening to us and you haven't heard the audio tape of his fiance talking to him, I mean, it's pretty chilling when he says in response to her saying, your son is terrorized by you. And he says, no, he respects me. And she says something to the effect of, no, he fears you. And then Hill says, you should be the one that fears me.
Yeah, he said, you should be terrified of me too, you dumb B-word. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah,
he's a saint. Well, this is the funny thing too, Mark, is that, I mean, I understand Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, they were both charged by law enforcement. So if you want to say, okay, look, here in New York at the league office, we're going to just respond to what jurisprudence does. If you are charged, then we're going to suspend you. But they don't do that. And Ben Roethlisberger, who, and you know something bad happened there, but an alleged sexual assault in the bath, he was never charged. The cops took pictures with him. He still gets suspended. Tom Brady might have let some air out of a football. He gets suspended. And so, I mean, even with Ezekiel Elliott, there was no information one way or the other, and he was not charged. He got suspended. I don't understand what's going on here. This is so bad.
Well, it's two things, you know. One, depending on how big a star you are and how much the NFL needs you, I think that's obvious leniency. They've got a big product. They got Pat Mahomes throwing the Hill in Kansas City. They've now become a marquee team and a must-watch and a ratings draw. And, you know, so they're not going to suspend him, although that was kind of a weak thing. Didn't they say, we're going to keep the case open in case something else transpires or wises us up? But there's no degree in any way, shape, or form of uniformity when it comes to discipline. It's just all over the map. It's erratic. And, you know, like I say, the Richie Incognito thing got me thinking about that because, you know, you don't know what kind of, like, to me, I never heard exactly what he did, but you could understand the mental duress a guy. Let's just play Richie's advocate here. Mm. You don't know what kind of mental duress he was under, you know, seeing his dad there at the funeral home. That sounds a lot less punishable with a two-game suspension than just listening to that audio tape, to me, in my mind, of Tyreek Hill talking to his fiance.
Well, we'll see the backlash. By the way, on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795 says, 650 says, I'm a Chiefs fan. I wish he was suspended. 510 says, thank you, Mark Ibanez, is a sports reporter who finally gets it. So what, you got some validation there. 40 years in, you're getting validated still. One more question for you here. I'll let you go. The 49ers, as they convene, and we've talked before about all the additions to offense, and they're going to have a much better pass rush if they can finally get Bosa to sign, which I'm sure they will. They didn't add a lot to the secondary, but they've got some weapons. The only thing is I'm trying not to get people's hopes too high. I think they'll definitely score some points. They'll be competitive. But when you look at that division and you look around the NFC, I just don't see them going from second worst team in football, and the worst team beat them twice last year, to all of a sudden being a playoff team. And so no one shoots for 8-8, except for Tom Cable. No one shoots for 8-8, but I'm just trying to be realistic. I just don't see playoffs next year. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see it.
I think playoffs is the best case scenario. Obviously, that would be a whole lot of things going right. And at the top of the list, health and Jimmy Garoppolo showing that he can endure the rigors of a 16-game regular season and hopefully more playoff games. But what I'm kind of looking for with the 49ers is solid, baseball consistency and improvement. And along those lines, if you can do that, sometimes the ball is not going to bounce your way and you're going to lose a game that maybe you outplayed the other team. But what I want to see from them is just somewhere in the range, I think they could go from 7-9 to me is worst case scenario. If they're like 6-5-4 wins, then you got a major problem. But I think they have enough talent, injuries included, unless it's just unbelievable, to endure. And I'd like to see a good solid 8-8, 9-7. And you know how it stacks up, Rick. It's just the luck of the draw. When you're in that middle ground there, you could be 9-7 and not make the playoffs. Or as we've seen in the past, didn't the Saints make it one year when they were 7-9 or the Seahawks?
Yeah, I think a couple teams have, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so playoffs is not necessarily, in my mind, the measuring stick. I think it's, uniformity and steady improvement and some advancement by a lot of these players you were talking about, guys in the secondary, that you haven't been able to define who they are because they've been up and down and you're not really sure. And Solomon Thomas, obviously you have to take into account the personal travails that he's gone through.
Yeah.
And what kind of player is he going to be? Can D Ford stay on sides, on a regular basis? Those kind of things. But, if everything fell into place, you got a 10-6 team or 9-7. I mean, you saw it with your own Raiders a couple of years ago, the year that they went to the playoffs and Carr broke his leg on Christmas Eve. They had the narrowest point differential of any team ever to win 12 games. Weren't they 12-4?
Yep.
And they looked like a Super Bowl contender, but at the same time, you kind of looked at that team, and in my mind, it wasn't a huge surprise that they took a big fall the next year. They had everything rolling for them. Remember the 2-point conversion on opening day in New Orleans?
Yep.
Just the breaks were going their way, and that doesn't always happen. So my point just being that just because you make the playoffs one year doesn't mean your franchise is necessarily headed in the right direction. So I think you have to look a little deeper with the 49ers to see progress. And I see it between 7-9 or 10-6 if it all falls their way. So.
There it is, Niner fans. Mark's got a he's feeling a little bit better than I am. I hope you're right. That'd be great. By the way, we have been speaking.
I gave myself a wide margin.
They'll either be 1-15 or 15-1, somewhere in there.
That's experience talking for you, Val.
Mark Ibanez has been with us. Follow him on Twitter at MarkIbanez2, no N-Y-A-Z on Twitter. And, of course, you can see him over there at KTVU Fox 2. Mark, always
otherwise,
great. Yeah.
Otherwise, give me that tilde over the end, okay? To get the Ibanez. Always nice talking to you. You know why, Rick? Is it feels like you know your stuff, obviously, but it always feels like a conversation, not a volley of question-answer. I really appreciate being on your show, Rick.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Always my pleasure.
All right. Good stuff there, Mark Ibanez, and the lines are open. We'd like to continue in the sports talk discourse and by the way, here, we've only got less than 20 minutes left. If you want to sneak in a question here or there, what does that mean? I don't know. Hockey, soccer, tennis. If you want to sneak it in, you can do it now. 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line is 95795. 510, Rick, I'm glad Pomerania got put in the bullpen. That's probably spell check or whatever. Pomerania is a province of northern Prussia. It was a kingdom back in like the 1800s, and then it was part of when they drew the line between Germany and Poland, and Silesia was Germany, and now it's Poland. And you think about Gdansk, which was Danzig. I think there's a band called Danzig, too, as they say in German, or Gdansk in Polish. That's all that northern Baltic coast there from Poland to Germany. That's Pomerania. Is that where them little dogs come from? That's where they come from. Pomeranian. Jesse in San Francisco, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Rick, how are you doing?
What's up, buddy?
I just want to weigh on this Tyreek Hill thing, and I'll be quick so you can get some more callers. But I think the argument that Tyreek Hill wasn't suspended because the NFL doesn't want to lose a star, I don't like that argument, and I think it detracts from the issue at hand. To me, what I understand from the whole Tyreek Hill, you know, what he wasn't suspended was that the NFL didn't have enough information to make a decision, and they're still leaving it open. So I think if they find more information, they'll suspend him. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, Jesse. Well, I agree with you. I don't think they're trying to coddle a star. I don't think they're trying to make sure Kansas City is as exciting as they were last year. Remember Mahomes, 5,050. I mean, goodness gracious, he was fantastic. They know the PR hit they're going to take, so that was their decision, but I don't think that they got paid off. The 510 asks, Rick, why do they say love in tennis? You know, I always heard that comes from, like we say, goose egg for zero. Well, oof is an egg in French, and so the zero or l'œuf. And so l'œuf, they would hear it, and then they would say love. Remember, we get a lot of things from the English that don't make a lot of sense, like Livorno in Italy is called Leghorn. Or Ypres in France is called Wipers. We get a lot of dumb stuff. Plugstrad is called Plug Street. Just leave it to the English. Yeah, I believe it was from egg in French. L'œuf. Come to me with all your linguistics questions. Ryan in Sausalito, how you doing?
I'm doing great, great.
By the way, are the tourists taking over Sausalito right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a delivery driver over here, so, you know, I'm a...
Okay.
I can't say nothing because I'm...
And you know what? Bless their hearts anyway. They help the economy. Go ahead.
Yes, true. Yes, of course, there's been, you know, a lot of opinions made about the upcoming 49er season based on, you know, obviously last year is, you know, going to give you more evidence, more than not, of course, of what they could be. But one thing that hasn't been emphasized going back to last season is that, you know, C.J. Beathard, he did start a huge percentage of those games, and he was an absolute, you know, turnover machine. And Nick Mullins proved to be, you know, far better. I mean, if Nick Mullins would have played those games in place of C.J. Beathard, they would have, I think they would have went 7-9 last year. I mean, C.J. Beathard turned the ball over The last quarterback that turned the ball over as much as him was J.T. O'Sullivan during the Mike Nolan era. So I think, in my opinion, 7-9 and between 7-9 and 11-5 is there. I think they're going to fall in that range. Obviously, injuries more so than anything will determine that outcome, and that's pretty much my speculation of this upcoming season. So I just want to get your take on that.
Ryan, thank you for the call, and lovely Sausalito, and the lines are open at 888-957-9570. You know, they spent a fourth-round pick on C.J. Beathard and then took his teammate, the tight end out of Iowa there, George Kittle, no relation. And yes, it's true that C.J. Beathard only has won one start. He's a tough kid. You do want your backup quarterback to be able to start three or four games for you, but I don't know about the Mullen love. I mean, if you just saw the primetime game against the Raiders where the Raiders gave up, I mean, they looked like France at the Maginot line. They were printing up shirts that said, I'm a collaborator. They were practicing running backwards, blowing kisses. But Mullins, what did he start? 8 games? He threw 10 interceptions. So, yeah, Beathard, you could say, is worse, but I don't think Nick Mullins is any roadmap to success. I would say he's barely better than Beathard, to tell you the truth. That's just how I think. Brandon in San Jose, you're on 95.7 again.
Hey, how's it going there, Rick?
What you got?
Hey, so diehard Sharks fan here, and I always appreciate listening to you when you're on the weekends and stuff. Who do you see as the two guys going to take over Pavelski's captaincy? Would you mean it's got to be Logan or Brent, right?
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think it's going to be Couture. I think he's the guy. You know, it's funny. You know, people are texting me about Patty, who apparently the Hurricanes are buying out, and would he come back? I would welcome back Patrick Marleau on a minimum, but this is a guy who got bought out for his $6.25 million. So I guess the Canes would pick up most of that. But 16 goals last year. He's a well-respected leader, but he's a bottom six forward at this point in his career. You know, he's third to fourth line. I love the guy. I always will love the guy. Deep, personal, passionate love. No, just love him as a fan. But, yeah, the captaincy, though, that's got to be Cooch. I mean, 14 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, that was the most of anybody, and obviously didn't play in the final round. And it still haunts me that they lost this to St. Louis. And did the Sharks get some breaks? Yeah, there are three rule changes that are going to be coming out with the hand pass review and the major that shouldn't have been a major, all that stuff. By the way, one of the most exciting things I ever saw in person was those four straight goals they scored. And that was when EK65 really took over. And you saw the quality of him at that time. Love the Sharks. Worked their first 9 years of their existence on TV. And, you know, it's the only team I've had as an adult, every other team I grew up with. But as an adult, that's my team. Because I didn't come in until 91. I was born in 92. But, yeah, I mean, the money that they gave MJ and Bernsey and Vlasic and EK9 and EK65, they don't have enough money left for Pavs, and it's really a shame. And it's not just one of those things like, oh, he was so great and he was our captain. He was a leading scorer. It wasn't sentimental. It was legit. How are you going to replace that? Well, they're hoping Timo and Banky will step up. They kept both of those guys, and they need to have money for Cooch and Hurdle as well. There's just not enough cash to go around, and that's something that does suck nowadays in a salary cap. Thanks for the call, though. 888-957-9570. The Raiders hired the worst offensive coordinator in the history of modern football. All right. I think I can think of some worse, to tell you the truth. By the way, I did say I would take a look at some of the hitters that are out there if you want to make a stretch for it, the ones that are available. I mean, there are some catchers, believe it or not. You think a catcher. Ian Happ, James McCann is hitting 300. You know, Omar Narváez, every time he plays against the A's, he hits a home run. He has 16 bombs. I think 5 are against the A's. But a guy who's right around 300 as well. I think the Mariners, now they've had a fire sale too. I think they'd be really dumb to trade Navarez because he's just going into his arbiters. And you only want to do that if you are really a defeatist team. And the A's did that with Josh Donaldson and also Gian Gonzalez because they wanted to prove a point. Look, if we stay in Oakland, we can't keep these guys, which was such a load of horse hockey. I can understand. You trade a guy in his last year like Josh Reddick, you should. You got to get something for him. You got to do it. Trading an all-star as he goes into his arbiters is about as white flag as it gets. Does anybody want Wilson Ramos? He'd probably be available from the Mets. 270 hitter. Hunter Pence. The Rangers are still in it. But hearing that Pence is available, probably because they think they can't keep it up. Amazing what he's done. Was he at like 287? I heard the name Justin Smoke. See, Justin Smoke is the kind of move like my team would make. And I think, what are you thinking? He's like, oh, he's got 15 bombs. Yeah, he's hitting like 210. Is that where we're at right now? I mean, that's Mark Canha, a guy who's not going to hit for average but hit home runs. We already got a guy like that. Then you're going to add Justin Smoke. So who's going to sit down? You're not going to sit down Olsen. You know, there's one prospect right now who's, you know, he came in that Madsen Doolittle deal with Washington with Lizardo and Trinan coming back to the A's. Sheldon Noisy, he's as blocked as a player can be because he can only play third or maybe first, and the A's have gold glovers there. In fact, one's platinum. So that guy is about as blocked, unless they want to do a little Schwarber on him or like vote and put him out in the outfield. But I will listen to a trade talks for Noisy just because I don't think he's ever going to come up. That happened before. Remember with Chavi at third, no place for Eric Hinsky. You had Esteban Herman, no place for him. When they had Tejada, these guys both won Rookie of the Year after they were traded. Sometimes you're just blocked. Look at Teixeira in Texas. He blocked Adrian Gonzalez. He blocked Pena. There's another guy there. If somebody's there, you got to deal them because these guys are just getting blocked. Nicholas Castellanos is a guy I would be interested in, though. You know, he's not exactly J.D. Martinez with the home runs, but this is a guy who hit 285, got about 10 jacks. You know, it's funny. The Padres just called up Luis Urias again. And around the league, they say that he's actually available. I don't know how he could be available at this point when he's that young. He's only had a handful of hits. There's Puig. Do you want Puig? Puig will hit you some jacks. Batting around 260. Great speed. Maybe if you're in a fight, he'll help you box. Maybe help you knock somebody out.
Puig is your friend.
Oh, there's Michael Urban. Hey, Mike, you coming in here next?
I am.
I was just gonna end with probably the best bat available, and it's a team having a fire sale, is the All-Star Whit Merrifield of Kansas City.
Okay.
Batting around 315 last time I saw, 12 jacks. Any of these names interest you at all for the A's?
No, I'm just blinded by the greatest team ever on this side of the bay. Come on, they've just won 7 games in a row, the Giants.
They lost today.
I know,
but I'm still saying sell, sell, sell. You got to sell.
Of course, but yeah. What do you think percentage of fans, like if a fan had a choice, okay, we're going to make it to the wild card, send out Bruce in a blaze of glory, but we're going to lose. Are you okay with that, or do we trade like we've been planning all along?
Remember, fans are the ones that scream for you to go for it every fourth down. Even if it's fourth and 35 from your own 1 yard line, they want you to go for it.
This is why you bring in a guy from outside the organization to do anything unpleasant.
Well, he has done it already to a few, and he's got to just, I mean, can you imagine going to Scottsdale and you didn't cash in on Bumgarner or Will Smith or Panda or Tony Watson?
They're already calling him a double secret agent. That would just, you know, make the chorus that much louder.
What about the whole thing like with Ricky and Steve Carsey? It'd be like, trade Bumgarner and then sign him back.
Yes.
Is that good?
Well, it's like Iggy's going to come back to the Warriors supposedly, right?
Well,
sure.
According to this, yeah, he can't. Not legally anyway.
Rick, I'm having the best time.
We got 20 seconds or so. What's coming up on your show?
Just counting down the hours till I get to work with you again.
All right. There he is. Michael Urban coming up next. You want to make sure you call him up at 888-957-9570. I'll be back here at 8 a.m. and I'll see you then. 95.7 again.